Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, God, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, and Lord, that we might be your people. And Almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is another copy of the names of God, different names of God for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one on the back tends to be more about Christ. And this is what we want to use as we continue in our 31-day prayer challenge. And I hope you have begun to sense a deeper presence of God in your life as you have spent time using the Lord's Prayer as a model. Praying to your Heavenly Father, whose name is holy and sacred, as you call on and worship God by using the names given to us in the Bible. Here, I'll take that too. And it starts out, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Pray with me. Let's work this together. Our God Most High, who created all that is seen and unseen, who is alive forever past and future, Lord Adonai, the great I am. Our God who provides, heals, and is present, who purifies us from all unrighteousness and is our peace, we praise your mighty name. In Jesus, you are the bread of life and light of the world. You shepherd us and are the true vine that gives eternal life to all who call upon your name. You are the great Messiah, the long-awaited one, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And by the Holy Spirit, you are the breath of life, the dew from heaven who draws us to yourself. You guide us into holy living and are the Spirit of truth, wisdom from on high. You are living water who refreshes, strengthens, and leads us to true life. You are the one true living God, my God, and we worship you. And all God's people said, amen. I had been out of college and working in the Detroit area for about a year when I began to attend church again. And over the next few years, I met a number of people, godly people, who have had a profound impact on my life. Now, she was more than 10 years older than I was, but when she talked to God, it's as if she were talking to her father, who happened to be in heaven. It seemed always to me to be an intimate conversation between a daughter and her daddy. Jesus was her friend, not just someone who lived 2,000 years ago and died for our sins, not someone whose long ago words were printed in the Bible, but someone whose words in the Bible were alive. They were living words, words that spoke to her. And God, the Holy Spirit, was always present with her. The Spirit was her mentor and her guide, who comforted her in difficult moments and celebrated with her in the triumphs of life. It wasn't that she prayed pretty prayers or nice prayers. It was that she was talking to and talking with God, always listening, always hearing. She was just present with God all the time. Now, my prayer life at that time was truly a model of personal prayer and consistency. I entered into prayer once a week, that is, every Sunday morning when the lay person or preacher prayed. Yes, I was a fine illustration of a man of prayer. But I was learning that real prayer with our Heavenly Father took effort It took work. It took time. God was using this woman, amongst others, to show me how I was almost anything but a man of prayer. And I know we all have these times, these seasons of life where it seems like we really haven't spent any time with our Father in heaven. And for some, we feel as though we have really never learned how to pray. And Jesus gives us what we call today the Lord's Prayer. He was a model of prayer for us to use and to learn. And it is in this next section of the Lord's Prayer that really began to change my prayer life, especially during those 3 or 4 months that I used the Lord's Prayer as a model of prayer during my prayer time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what really initially struck me about this part of the Lord's Prayer? Although I was familiar with asking God for this or that, things which I thought met my perceived needs, my wants, my desires, I didn't know that if I had ever asked God for what His needs, His wants, His desires for my life should be, what they should be. I don't know that I was asking God for His kingdom to come into my life, or for His will to be done in my life. And yet, here is Jesus saying to His disciples then, and to us today, first recognize your Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Worship God. Ask God for His kingdom to come and His will to be done in your life. Kingdom. Will. There's a future tense which talks about the kingdom of God, which suggests that the kingdom is not yet here, not completely here. The kingdom of God could, in the English sense, mean a parcel of land or a physical presence, such as the New Jerusalem that will come down from heaven and reside on the earth after the last days. But kingdom here is really referring to reign or rule. Reign or rule. Therefore, the kingdom of God is about the reign of God on the earth, the rule of God on the earth. May your rule come, God. May your reign, may you reign on earth as you reign in heaven. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God in terms of it being priceless. And if it's priceless, shouldn't we do all we can to get that kingdom? To get the rule of God, the reign of God in our lives? Jesus says this about the kingdom. Read it with me. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God, is the first thing Jesus asks us or tells us that we should pray for after worshiping God, as it must be one of the most important things that we should ask God to bring. When we pray for the rule or the reign of God to come, we're asking for it to come in us and through us, as it was ushered into the world by Jesus and through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit that gives us the power to receive the reign, the rule of God in our lives, and to allow that to go out through us. You see, the world experiences the reign of God best through you and I as we submit ourselves to God. Your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your work associates experience God's reign on earth as we submit ourselves to God's rule and reign in our lives. I was chatting with someone at the Detroit Annual Conference, and they were telling me of a relative of theirs who had really not gone to church. They would have said that they were Christian, but didn't go to church. She said her grandmother did go to church, and when she got there, she heard two other people talking about someone behind their back, and she said, "That's not right," and then never went back to church again. You see, when we ask for God's kingdom to come, for God to rule our lives, then we must be submissive to God in all our ways. For we never know what we say or do. We never know how what we say or do will impact somebody else's life. It was a number of people at the church that I was attending who I believed took this part of the prayer seriously. They were asking God to rule their lives. And they were living their lives in submission to God's reign. As a direct result, a young man saw this experience in their lives and began to desire the kingdom of God in his life. Understand, God's kingdom comes through the obedience of God's people. Now, there are other kingdoms. There are other kingdoms which also want your allegiance. Can you guess what they are? Can you guess what they are?
Family.
Family. Work. I lopped them into three large groups. You see, Satan wants us to be the kingdom, a member of his kingdom, to submit our lives to one who prowls the earth looking for whom he can destroy or devour. The world wants us to be members of its kingdom, to submit to its temporary rule here on the earth. And then there is our own hearts, our own mind, our desires, which wants us to submit to those and not God's heavenly desires, which I would lop some of these in, our family, our work. You see, your life, your actions will show what kingdom you most want to live in. Now, yeah, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we all go astray from time to time. The question is, what kingdom will you regularly pursue? Will you pursue God's reign, God's rule in your life? Or will you pursue the things of the world? Will you pursue the things that Satan throws in front of you and says, "This is better than God"? Or will you pursue your own desires that don't line up with God's desires? What kingdom will others say you are pursuing? Yes, this can be difficult, especially at first. I know. I have to battle the desires of this world too, and sometimes I have to pray simply for the desire of the kingdom to come. Maybe this is why Jesus puts it first in the Lord's Prayer, because it impacts our life to the greatest degree. May your kingdom, may your reign, may your rule come into my life. And as we submit to the reign and rule of God for our lives, Jesus follows up, and may your will be done. It's not just about accepting or believing in God's kingdom. This is the first thing we must submit to. But then it's about submitting to God's will for our lives. Now, I see God's will in two ways. There's the general will of God, And then there's the specific will of God. God's general will is followed in the basic way God wants all Christians to live their lives. And it can be summed up in the summation of the Ten Commandments when Jesus says to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and then love your neighbors as yourself. To do these well means that we have to take it to heart. God's great commission of making disciples of all nations, teaching others to obey God's teaching and commands, is a part of God's general will for all of our lives. To make disciples means we must share the love of God, and we must share with others where we receive this love. We must share how God provides a way through Jesus Christ to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. To make disciples means willing to share our struggles in life and give testimony to how God helps us or empowers us or comforts us or sees us through those struggles. To listen and hear the God moments in our lives and other lives that we share here in the morning. To use those to share with others in your life. You know, I know this carpenter. He works in the UAW or some one of those places. And you know what he did one day? He went in and got dressed that morning for work with all of his associates. And he said, what did you say, Paul?
Let's say a prayer.
Oh, no. No, it was your friend Jason. He's not here anymore. The boss had to let him go. But he said that he was feeling called to go into the ministry. Isn't that great? And the scruffiest guy in the lot said, yeah, that is great. And these young carpenters around, man, they were like, we can do that here. Now, I didn't share my story, but I shared Paul's story in a way that was humorous, but it was a way that gets out of our life. Who reigns in our life, whose will we want to submit to. And we use those stories of things that we have read, missionaries, or other Christians that we talk to who share a story of triumph. We want to share those with others. That's a part of God's general will for our lives. For a time, I struggled, though, with God's specific will for my life. You see, God calls us each into ministry, whether it is a lay ministry or a full-time ministry. While working at Ford, I was involved in ministry at my church. I was on the ad council. I was the chair of the ad council. For a time, I sang in the choir. I led a praise band once a month at our church and was discipling others. I was doing those things. But as I prayed, God, your will be done in my life. Your specific will be done in my life where I worked with my family, in my neighborhood, and my church. God's specific will became more known to me that I was being called into full-time ministry. And I didn't want to look back on my life. And it was a struggle to make the decision. But I didn't want to look back on life and be disappointed that I didn't do God's specific will for my life. Now, we're not all called to full-time ministry, but we are all called to some specific type of ministry within the body of the church. And as you live into your specific calling, step by step, God will affirm you in that calling. Of course, I see this part of the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, as a constant prayer in my life, in all that I think, in all that I say, in all that I do. God, am I allowing you to reign in my life in this? God, am I operating within your will for this thought, this action, how I'm treating someone else? Or am I the king of my own little kingdom doing what I want without regard to you, God? I have to pray so often that God's will be done in my life. Friends, the prayer that Jesus taught, this model of prayer, it is a dangerous prayer. It is absolutely a dangerous prayer to undertake. You see, I didn't want to be a kind of powerless Christian where I entered into prayer once a week with my pastor, that is every Sunday morning when a prayer was prayed. I wanted to be the kind of man whom God used because I was intent on spending time in prayer with God, asking God for His kingdom to come, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, as a part of the 31-day prayer challenge, last week you were challenged to spend time every day in prayer, naming and worshiping God as you enter into your time of prayer, using the sheets that you have in your bulletin. You can easily spend time each morning as you wake up, as you rise up, as you prepare for the day, as you shower, dress, whatever, to be using those names and worshiping God. That was last week's prayer challenge. This week, I want you to simply ask for God's kingdom to come, that you would allow God's reign, God's rule to be in your life, and for God's will to be done in your daily life. God's general will of loving God and neighbor, and God's specific will of how I will use my gifts, my talents, my resources. Will I live a life of generosity, or will I live a life of scarcity? Samuel Chadwick, a Methodist pastor and president of Cliffs College over in England in the late 19th century, early 20th century, said this about prayer. Read it with me. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless works, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. On this day, as we celebrate Pentecost, the day when God's Holy Spirit came down into the life of all believers, I want you to remember that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live lives pleasing to God, where we can pray powerfully and Satan will tremble. Will you do this week? Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and for this model of prayer we use. And God, I ask that you would help us all this week to continually ask for your kingdom to come, your reign or your rule in our lives, that we would submit ourselves to that reign and rule, that we would submit ourselves to your will this week in all that we say, in all that we do. And God, as we spend time praying, God, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct us. For sometimes as we do these things for the first time, Lord, it seems so clunky. It seems so difficult. We have to pause. We have to look at something for help. And yet, God, I know within time we will be prayer warriors with this model of the Lord's Prayer. And God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would light us on fire, that our passions would all be in line with your will for our life, that our desires would line up for your will in our life. And God, if it's not so, we submit ourselves to you and ask that your Holy Spirit would cleanse us. Lord, that you would give us power to walk away from things that aren't pleasing to you. And God, that your Holy Spirit would envelop us in your love. We ask this all in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.